And Kenyans are grieving today. Yesterday's attack on Garissa University College left 140 students dead. The four al-Shabaab attackers were eventually also killed after the Kenyan army was able to gain access to the dorms where they were holed up. NPR's Gregory Warner is following the story from Nairobi, and a warning. It's a difficult one to hear about. But Gregory, what are you hearing?
Well, it is pretty horrific, as you mentioned. It was not a rush job. Gunmen, as you said, they arrived 10 hours before Kenyan security forces managed to end the standoff, and so that they had time to kill who they wanted in the way they wanted. Mm-hmm. I was just off the phone with a first responder from IRC, the International Rescue Committee. He was working in a nearby refugee camp called Dadaab, heard the news, jumped in an ambulance over this bumpy road, arrives at the scene. What he described seeing when they finally entered this hall where the gunmen were holed up, bodies everywhere, some of them shot while running, some of them shot execution style. Of course, these are students, 19, 20, 21 years old. But then as he's watching, some of the students start to move. Mm-hmm. Some of them had hidden in closets. Some had smeared themselves with their friend's blood and faked their death. Those were lucky enough to be rescued. For most of them, of course, it was too late.
Not just terrible. So, Gregory, what's going on where you are now in Nairobi? It's been about 2 years since the terror attacks at the Westgate Mall. At that time, the government said never again. But it's happened again. So what are people saying?
The similarities with Westgate Mall are terrifying and demoralizing. And as you say, less than 2 years later, again, a small group of gunmen gain access to a place with hundreds of civilians, choose their target and approach in such a way that they can be bunkered up with those civilians for hours, increasing the death toll, of course, but also increasing media attention. Mm. In this attack, the death toll was twice that of Westgate. So many people are wondering how this could have happened again. And I even have a copy here of a flyer distributed to Nairobi students on March 25th, a year earlier, and it says, "Terror threat alert. Intelligence reports indicate the al-Shabaab terror group is planning retaliatory attacks on vital installations in Nairobi, including a major university." Mm. People are wondering, why were there not extra security guards? Why was there not more preparation?
What about what's happening between Kenyans? When it comes to questions of religion, what is this doing between Christian-Muslim relations?
I'm so glad you're asking me this, Robin, because I feel like, I mean, this is clearly what al-Shabaab is trying to do, is to make divisions. But we have to separate the rhetoric from the practice, because on the one hand, al-Shabaab says that they were pulling out Christians and executing them, and there is evidence of that. They told Muslim students to leave, although Muslims were also killed in the shooting spree in this university. But al-Shabaab has a long history of killing their fellow Muslims. In fact, al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden used to criticize them for that. He told them to stop gunning down people in mosques. So this is definitely a group that wants to couch what they do in a kind of crusader, jihadist framework that they themselves have to go through all this rhetorical hijinks to justify. As for Kenya, one great thing I think I can say about Kenya is that it is not a place where there is a great amount of religious tension. Of course, there's tension, but it's not a feature of Kenyan society. And when I've been talking to people, they have not expressed anger at Muslims or even at ethnic Somalis. Mostly they've expressed anger at the government. They feel that the government is not protecting them and needs to do more and needs to do more quickly.
NPR's Gregory Warner in Nairobi, Kenya. Gregory, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.